Blog Talk Radio.
Go down below there, way down in Egypt land. Tell old Pharaoh to let my people go.
Your chair and tapping your toes. It's one of my absolute favorite songs, and it's very pertinent to this evening's topic because, yes, God can let his people go, but where? And if you're a woman, some of those paths are cut off to you if you're in the Roman Catholic Church. This evening, I'm going to talk about why women should be ordained, can be ordained, have been ordained to the diaconate, the presbyterate, and the episcopate. And that means as deacons, as priests, and as bishops in the Catholic Church. Now, let me clarify here. I am a part of the United States Old Catholic Church, and the Old Catholic Church does ordain women to all three offices within holy orders. The United States Catholic Church is not in union with the Roman Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church created it, and then created it. Really interesting history behind it that I don't want to take too much time on. Saints women, and I'm in formation in the United States, Old Catholic, become priest. My first nation, the diaconate, to become deacon, will be on November 8th. So my position. No matter what you do, this is the Roman Catholic Church, who is because when you're in an adult formation, that is a part. I teachers, I RCIA, I teacher, and sometimes. So that's a little uppity for teachers. My classroom in the morning, so that for RCIA, teaching spouses and partners. That's very fabulous. And there will be, we did leave in the Catholic Church, but not all the system, sort of just stayed until under Archbishop. Still quicker than I ever was. That I am, that I want everything that I've got. I should probably look at the whole Catholic thing. While at the Catholic Church, I was a Roman Catholic apologist. That means that any point of Catholic doctrine I could explain to you, I could defend to you, I still can. There's really not any question heard, feel, answered, or argued. And one of the only two things that would come up that I'd have, the first was peace of the church, and the word nation. I had to tread very close to the way I felt priest. So, in light of that, I really need to defend the whole concept. And what I'm in the ministry I'll be doing, what I have a role. And we can argue that I'm talking, I am, but 1 Peter 3:15, I always have to keep in mind. Peter says, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Always be ready to give it to anyone who asks you for a reason for your hope. But do so with gentleness and reverence, keeping your conscience clear so that when you are maligned, those who defame your good conduct in Christ may themselves be put to shame. Humility faith, and elsewhere, in Leviathan, when strict into eating fruit, husband who is just standing there and not saying, they fall, they exchange anger and blame. So God looks at what he does, strike him a mortal wound. Where was Jesus Christ? Golgotha, the skull. So God does not prophesy the man will come and fix everything. He prophesied that a woman and give the world a man who will prophesy. So that's the Abraham. Of Abraham, he's 70s, he was wealthy, he was retired, he and his wife, Sarah, who had no history, that salvific role. And then we move to Moses. Pharaoh says, kill all the Jewish boys under 2 years old. And Moses' mother runs him to the river, puts him in a basket, and floats him down because she knows the Pharaoh's daughter is downstream. The Pharaoh's daughter finds Moses, falls in love with this little boy, and then Moses' mother runs over and says, oh, I see his nursemaid, so she gets to raise him. Pharaoh's daughter, a woman, again, brings the man to his destiny, which is about our salvation. Women received the herald of Jesus' birth. Mary, Elizabeth, mother. And Jesus' ministry disciples, Martha, Mary, the other Mary. Jesus sent out 72 disciples to cast out demons and heal women. Because you can read very clearly in the Gospels, the women had equal partnership with the men as disciples. There were only 3 disciples who made it all the way to the cross without running like little babies. John, Our Lady, and Mary Magdalene. The role of order actually comes to Mary, right, the woman who tells Peter, and again, the woman brings comes to him and he to that travel with a theme that indicated that implies a final definitive statement in inter insignioris. It says, yes, women did perform some ministry in early church, but women had relation to sacramental priesthood. Nation have there have been a lot of little created ones here and there and treated them as equals, which indicates he wasn't choosing as well. Secondly, only present last supper in which Jesus instituted you. At the last, I basically said that at the last supper. Chair number 3, the church has admitted women holy order. Priests or bishops, will indeed, we'll talk about that in a second. And number 4, if Jesus was going to ordain anyone, it would have been his mother. And he didn't even do that. We'll talk more about Mary towards the end. Don't ordain women. So, 3 of these are pure conjecture about thinking when he became a citizen. Argument, there's no Jesus not with the divorce. Jesus said this, Jesus said that. All the movies did this. So that means he was thinking that. Through conjecture, what Jesus did, women priests, so ordained women priests. So, the claim was on the idea that Jesus didn't do it or talk about it, so we can't either. Those are those first 3 claims. But never physical slaves. The Roman church should speak out, right? The same with religion. Until Vatican II, the church did not believe in religious freedom. It did. And then it did. 183 Jesus didn't say anything about religious freedom. He didn't act about religious freedom. He pretty much said, I don't agree with you. Shake dust off your shoes. Walk. And yet the church shall believe in it. And teach it. Base that it has to follow this one step about Jesus' motive and it can never change. Right? Even though exactly that. But listen, we can rest the argument. Semantics. Each of these is a failed nation. And very specific what I call apostles and they were men. Have you heard the statement that the Jews at the time of Jesus were looking for a great political and military leader who was going to dash Romans and the Jews? I've heard that. All right, it's not true. Very popular argument. It's a certain extent you could argue it's really tell from the Exodus through water. To sights wandered for years in the desert Friday. New priests to the laying on the hands of confirmation. Their new law, a new Torah, love. I give you this commandment, love one another as I love you. The new pure. Do you remember in the desert, everyone got bitten? Moses put it to everyone who was healed. That was the cross. So the new day contained manna, and it contained this. Well, what did Mary Goldman say? She said she held the high, held the fulfillment of the law. She had a new covenant. What's in the promised land? Heaven, the church. What's missing? What's missing from all of that? Jesus renewed all of that with the of that, with a new law, knew everything to divide the land. By choosing 12 disciples, Jesus is representing the 12 brothers of Jacob. If you remember the story, his brother jealous of him because he loves him. They throw him down a well. He gets actually, and then they stole him. Goes to Egypt. Way up Pharaoh's
court. Hello, my friends. It looks like the internet connection on Blog Talk has gone to heck. So I sincerely apologize. I've called in on my phone. I understand that the sound quality was hideous. It should be better now because I'm using the call-in line. What I'm going to do is I'm going to back up a bit. I offered the arguments. We haven't gone too far back, so let's do this. Let me go back to the arguments that the Catholic Church has, the Roman Catholic Church, against women's ordination, and I'll go from there. And I apologize if some of this is repeating, but at least we'll make sure that you hear everything from here on out. Okay, in the very beginning, I just talked about women's roles in the Bible and how it is that a woman always brings the man to his part in salvation history. Just like Moses is sent down the river and is found by Pharaoh's daughter, so the woman leads the man to his role. The same with Abraham. God promises Abraham both land and a son. So how does Abraham get his covenant fulfilled? Through his wife, Sarah. It was the women who found the empty tomb, and they run to get Peter and bring him. So always the woman brings the man to his role in salvation history, making her role a conduit, a transition. She is the one who goes and tells the man that an important event has occurred. So let's then start a little behind where I was so that you can all hear me. And I hope you can hear me now. Just let me know on the board. I apologize for this. Blog Talk tends to do this to me, and I'll have to give them a call. So the Catholic Church has four primary arguments against women's ordination. All right, the first one is Jesus chose 12 men, apostles, and not one woman. Even though he interacted with women in a revolutionary way, which indicates that he wasn't just choosing men because of his culture, he still chose 12 men. So, that's the argument. That's the argument. Jesus chose 12 men and no women. The second argument is only those 12 men were present at the Last Supper when Jesus instituted both holy orders and the Eucharist. Right? Holy orders is ordination, and the Eucharist when he broke the bread and gave it to them and said, eat, do this in memory of me. This is my body. Okay? So the argument is there were only 12 men there when he ordained them all and showed them how to do the Eucharist. The third argument is the church never admitted women to holy orders. Well, not priests anyway. So the church has never ordained women. That's why the church never ordains women. And number four, Jesus had his choice of any woman. However, if he was going to ordain any of them, he would have ordained Mary, his mother. So we'll talk more about that later. But he didn't even ordain her. So, given that, those are the four arguments that the Roman Catholic Church has against women's ordination. Notice something. Three of these are conjecture about what Jesus was thinking when he made those decisions. And the fourth is a circular argument. We don't ordain women priests because we have never ordained women priests, so we don't ordain women priests. That's really not a satisfactory reason. It really isn't, all right? Because the claim rests on the idea that Jesus didn't do it or talk about it, so we can't have either. Of course, Jesus said nothing about slavery, and he freed no slaves, even though we know it existed at the time. So the Roman Church should really stop talking out against that, right? I mean, it's not something that they should even think about. It's the same with religious freedom. Until Vatican II, the Church did not believe in religious freedom, quite the opposite. Their goal was that everyone be Catholic. And then all of a sudden, after Vatican II, they did. They did a 180-degree turn. Paul in 1 Timothy forbids women from teaching men. He says, I do not permit a woman to have authority over a man or to teach a man. But let me tell you something. The Catholic Church would have no Catholics left if they didn't let women teach. But the Church insists that it has to follow this one guess about Jesus' motives and can never change. What is a decision based on guesses? I mean, that's their argument. It's based on guesses. But, you know, those of us in favor of women's ordination can't rest on that argument. So let's attack these arguments one at a time and see where it takes us. I'm going to play a brief song so that I can get in touch with everybody who got dropped off and let them know we're back on air.
Thank you.
Okay, everyone, we're back. So, I was talking about why the argument against women's ordination is based only on conjecture about what Jesus was thinking. The first argument is that Jesus chose 12 men and only men, even though he had a very radically different relationship with women for the time period. So, let's talk about that first. Have you heard the story, or not the story, the theory, that the Jews of Jesus' time were expecting not a spiritual leader, but a political leader? The Messiah was going to be a political leader, a military leader, someone who would crush the Romans and lead the Israelites to freedom. Well, that's actually not true. It's a little true, but it misses a couple of nuances that are extremely important in understanding how the New Testament jives with the Old Testament. All right? What the Jews were really expecting was a new Exodus. A new Exodus. What comes with the new Exodus? Well, they were looking for a new Moses. And that was Jesus. They were looking for a new Pharaoh, which was the devil. They were looking through a new escape through water, the Red Sea. That's baptism. There was a new battle through the desert. That was temptation. Even Jesus spent 40 days in the desert. The Israelites spent 40 years. They were looking for a new Levitical priesthood, and Jesus initiated that through holy orders and also through the priesthood of all believers by virtue of baptism. They were looking for the new pillar of fire and pillar of wind to lead them where they needed to go. That's the Holy Spirit. They were looking for a new law, a new Torah, and that was the law of love. I give you a new commandment, love one another as I have loved you. They were looking for a new manna. That's the Eucharist. They were looking for a new Ark of the Covenant. That's Mary. What did the Ark of the Covenant carry? It carried the law. It carried the staff of Aaron, the sign of the high priest. And it carried manna. Well, what was inside Mary? The real Eucharist. The high priest, the fulfillment of the law. So the Ark of the Covenant was Mary. The promised land was heaven, the new Jerusalem being the church. So what's missing? What else was part of the Exodus and the establishment of the nation of Israel that I didn't list? The 12 tribes. 12 sons of Jacob. So let me explain this. When, before Exodus starts at the end of Genesis, we hear about Jacob's 12 sons, Benjamin, Judah, Manasseh, and Joseph. The other 11 despise Joseph, the youngest. They toss him down a well. They do all manner of things to him. And the most cruel thing they do is sell him into slavery in Egypt. Well, eventually, Joseph rises through the ranks and becomes the head of Pharaoh's household. He is in charge of the entire land. There's a famine in the land, and Joseph, having had a word from God, saved wisely, so Egypt is the only land where the people aren't starving. Jacob tells his sons, "I've heard Egypt has food. Please go and get some for us." The 12 brothers come. Joseph recognizes them. But they don't recognize him. And so Joseph tells them, go get your father. And they bring Jacob there. Jacob recognizes Joseph. Joseph forgives his brothers. And then the 12 brothers and their families, along with Jacob and his wife, move to Egypt and settle in the land to avoid the famine. The end of Genesis. When Exodus begins, we hear about a time 400 years later when a Pharaoh came along who knew not Joseph. So now, over 400 years, those 12 brothers have turned into 12 tribes, and they're enslaved. So why did Jesus pick 12 men? To mirror the 12 brothers who became the 12 tribes. Not to exclude women. I submit that if we're going to conjecture about his motives, it makes more sense to put this in as Jesus' motive, that he was trying to recreate the Exodus, the Old Covenant, in the New Covenant. And so he chose 12 men. And every Jew who looked at it would go, oh, I know what he's doing. I get it. I get all of it. And so that's why Jesus chose 12 men as apostles. And what did the tribes do? When they got to the promised land, they divided it up. What did the apostles do? They divided up the world to evangelize. Mark went to Egypt. Peter went to Rome. Paul went to Greece. John went to Turkey, etc., etc. In choosing 12 men, Jews would have seen the connection and realized that this is the new covenant, the one prophesied by Jeremiah. And Revelation echoes the words of Jeremiah exactly in 21:3. It says, I will be your God, and you will be my people, and God himself will be with you and teach you, and he will wipe every tear from your eyes. I submit that this is why Jesus chose 12 men. Right, why else? It was cultural, but not from Jesus. It was cultural from the leaders of the church after the apostles. So Jesus chose 12 men to mirror the 12 tribes. Then the men who took over the church after the apostles, who had been taught directly by Jesus, started to have concerns. In the Didascalia, chapter 15, this is a document that was written by a bishop in Syria, around 200 to 250 AD. And it's a series of orders explaining how things should be done in the church. Chapter 15 states, so when the Gentiles who are being instructed hear the word of God not fittingly spoken, as it ought to be, unto edification of eternal life, and all the more in that it is spoken to them by a woman, they will mock and scoff instead of applauding the word of doctrine, and she shall incur a heavy judgment for sin. It wasn't Jesus, and we'll look at more later. This isn't the only argument.